Hello, All-Star listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable presented by All-Star Veterinary Clinic, the podcast where we answer your veterinary-related questions while having some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice, and if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, please let us know.
Yes, as always. Have we gotten feedback yet? None.
It's okay. It's all good. That is false.
It's false? This just
20
in.
Reviews.
We have 20 reviews on Spotify.
I feel like I need to make that news like
breaking news.
Ooh.
4.8 out of 5. Why do we have minus 0.2? That's why I want to know. We can always be better.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement. I know. You're here to save
the
day.
Point two.
Bring up the point
That's
two.
Right. That's right.
You're still going. It's the Veterinary Roundtable's first birthday.
Woo!
Our first year of the podcast has led to 27 episodes, 100 plus recorded cases, too many terrible icebreaker jokes, multiple listener questions answered and unanswered, and more. Thank you for being on this journey with us. The show wouldn't be nearly as much fun without our listeners.
So fun. I can't believe it.
What has been your favorite memory over the past year?
Gosh, I don't know if I have a specific one because every episode is so unique. Like, to be honest with you,
mine would be probably Fidel. Like, Becca Fidel, like, was saying something that's totally like.
There was one episode we were super giggly that night. I don't remember what it was, but we were so.
It could have
so
been with Courtney
happy.
And Becca, maybe. I don't remember.
I don't know. But I mean, this is going to be my new favorite because we have food on it. So,
and it's been the whole year we've been saying we wanted
food. I cannot believe it. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You guys excited to be here?
Yeah.
On the special episode.
Staring at the cake.
I'm excited
time.
For cake.
Yes. Can smell it.
Cake. We're both like cake.
Yes.
Sugar rush for the day. Yeah, it's been so fun having you along this journey.
Good job. Wait. We made it a year.
Made it a year.
Okay.
You sound like a new, like one of those married couples. We made it 7 years.
That's right.
We did it.
Let's have cake.
On today's episode, we have myself, co-host and associate veterinarian, Dr. Ashlyn Duckwall, associate veterinarian, Dr. Allison Faust, veterinary technician, Elise Augustine, and our head honcho, the head veterinarian of All-Star, and my co-host, Dr. Emily King.
Welcome. All right. We're so glad to have you guys
welcome,
here today.
Welcome. You guys welcome, doing okay? Welcome. We're midday here. Mm-hmm. Feeling all right?
Think so.
Okay. All right. That's good. We'll see how it goes.
It's better than after work. Those other ones.
Those are hard.
Oh my gosh, I want to
go. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I can hardly keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like looking at the cake.
The cake has got everybody's attention.
Simple things. Now we do have an exciting announcement. If you haven't already seen it, go watch it. But we made a video with our clinic cat, Randy, who, by the way, is very well loved and cared for here. Everybody adores that cat. Anyways, it's gotten now 5.4 million views on TikTok, wow. Over a million on Instagram, and we've gained 1,000 followers.
Thanks for everybody for following
us. Yes, thank you.
Randy is definitely well taken care of. Randy leads a special life here.
Yes.
At the clinic.
Randy has a ball pit.
He is special.
So like if that doesn't tell you how spoiled he is, like if you
ever
he has a ball pit.
Yeah. Oh, he does have his own ball pit.
He has his own toy basket, him and Ralphie, and handpicked by us. So he's very much loved.
Yep.
Poor
absolutely.
Ralphie.
Just so everyone knows.
Ralphie, his sibling, is also loved, just not as special.
I love Ralphie. He's just not as special. He doesn't have a disease to make it special.
There's so many things
Randy
wrong about
literally
him.
Has a poor developed brain.
He does. Absolutely. Yeah. And you could kind of see it when you, if you saw the, did you post the one, the rebuttal to the Randy video where he's looking at the camera and is like, he's like staring at something that is not even there.
Yeah.
He's got this empty look.
Some of Randy's brain cells are.
He is so cute.
He's loved for sure. So. Okay. I guess our other podcast clips are doing well. Okay, that's what Harrison said.
Harrison said
we found out secondary, but okay, good, great. Icebreakers, go for it.
What was the first concert you ever went to, Elise?
The first concert I ever went to was One Republic.
Nice.
Oh. And for years, my mom would be like, do you want to go to a concert? And I'd be like, no, I'm just not interested. And she finally bought me tickets. And then afterwards, it became like an addiction. Now yeah. I like love concerts. And concerts she's like, you used to say you never wanted to go to a concert. And now I buy you tickets. And now you love it. And I was like, well, thank you for that.
Shout out to One Republic.
Yeah. they converted
good
you
music.
Over.
They did. They were the catalyst. They started it all.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
Fausti, what about you?
Tom Petty.
Ooh.
My mom took us. I was in seventh grade. We all walked out high, and she said sorry. It was the best concert ever. But that's awesome. Yes, it was.
Oh my God,
she
that's
was
hilarious.
A little embarrassed as a mom because she took me and a friend, and it was a oopsie daisy.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in the air.
Oh, yes. A plume.
Yeah.
But it was so good. One of the best concerts.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I'll be honest, I can't remember my first ever. I want to say Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, but I do remember my first one I ever went to is like by myself with a friend or my sister, actually. I drove us there, and it was, oh my gosh, Keith Urban. It was a great concert. Keith Urban, Taylor Swift.
When she wasn't not quite who she is now.
When she was still country.
Yeah, when she was still
country. When she was that little girl.
Trying to make it.
Yeah.
Yes.
My first concert was Tina Turner.
Oh my God.
With Lionel Richie.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Tina Turner sounded horrible though. But she had one good song at that time. Hmm. Well, I mean, you know, she had all those songs like from like yeah. way back. And then she had one good song. I can't remember the name of it. And so that was good, but man, it was loud and obnoxious, like the screeching and everything. But Lionel Richie was awesome.
Nice. Classic.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. If you could create one holiday, what would it be and why? King?
I don't know. I thought about this quite a bit, actually.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out what holiday I would create. There probably already is a holiday.
Yeah. There's probably designated days for this. It happens all the time.
I would say it would be plaid shirt holiday.
Okay. Love it.
Because I wear lots of plaid shirts.
It's a great holiday.
It's a holiday all the time.
Exactly. I could see a Hallmark holiday. That's.
I wanted a National Nap Day.
Oh. Ooh.
Everyone took naps. Wouldn't get judged for it. Allowed to legally.
Encouraged.
At the work. The workplace, you know.
Sorry, we can't help you right now.
Yeah.
We're napping.
All napping.
If the law doesn't allow it, you sue them.
You didn't let me take my nap today. And it's
a
holiday.
That's an intense holiday. I like it, though.
If you're going to make it one, you better make it.
Yeah,
go pick or go home.
One.
Yep.
Ooh.
What about you guys?
I didn't remember this question, so.
National holiday. I really like Duckwell's like national nap holiday.
We can start a trend.
I think there should be like a national holiday where like you should take like your like medical professionals like dentists and vet techs and veterinarians and doctors. You should take them food.
Oh, there you go.
Medical Appreciation Day.
Nice. I like it.
You show appreciation with food.
With food.
It's really all that we need in life.
Acts of kindness. Food.
Yeah.
I might combine all these holidays and have a day where I'm wearing a plaid shirt and taking a nap and somebody brings me food. Plus, I'm loving on my cat.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I could totally see you doing all those things.
Is called.
Sounds like vacation.
National Stay Home with Your Cat Day.
Yes. You
wear your plaid pajamas. Somebody brings you food.
Yes.
And you sleep all day.
I love it.
Nice.
I like that holiday, too. Okay. I might just have to do that.
Petition.
Exactly. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
Case collections.
On to case collections.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know by now, well, listen to the other 27 episodes and you'll know. We talk about cool cases. So they have a story. So I'll just do my case real quick.
And then we'll talk about their story. That sounds excellent.
So mine was... I think it's always interesting, but he is actually a 10-year-old Great Dane, so old for the breed, and came in because he had this growth on his toe, and he was chewing at it, licking at it. It was bleeding in the house, and he has skin tags elsewhere, but not like hard, hard gross. So sampled it, and unfortunately, under the microscope, to my eyes, it was inconclusive. I really didn't get a lot of cells. It was bloody. I couldn't tell her what it was, honestly, which that's not our form of diagnosis anyway. So we went through options of removing it in that spot when it's on the top of the toe and it's attached to everything. You really, unfortunately, can't go just scoop it out of skin. You're looking at removing the toe altogether versus letting it be and kind of managing it as it flares up. And the concern is if it's malignant or a bad growth, then if you don't remove everything, it's just going to grow back, come back worse, spread, what have you. So discussed it in detail with the owner and our options, and his blood work was great. Heart and lungs looked great. So we opted to remove it and we amputated his toe. It was a non-weight bearing toe. So animals, dogs walk on their middle two toes. So it was the outside, I don't know, outside one of his right hind. So he's walking just fine already in recovery. And it's been 5 days, I think. And we just got the report back, and it was a extramedullary plasmacytoma, which they are benign, thankfully, and they're best cured by complete removal. So we completely removed it and it won't grow back. And that was the concern. If we did not amputate the toe and I just chopped off what I could, it would just grow back, which it would have. So it's fixed. He's doing well in recovery.
It's like best case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Like, and I think it's important for people to understand, like, the toe is just a really bad spot. And unless you can get a slam dunk, like, yes, I'm sure under the microscope, these cells aren't scary, we can watch it. Like, you're really talking about, can you just splice it off or you're removing a toe? And thankfully, it's mostly cosmetic more than anything. Like, animals do okay without them. So
it's a way to cure them.
It's a way to cure them.
There you go.
Yep. Sometimes you can't even tell that they don't have a toe there anymore.
Yeah.
Especially the long-haired dogs.
Yeah. I'll be doing nail trims sometimes, and I'm like, there's something missing here. Something's wrong. I didn't get enough nails.
Start counting their toes. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. He's doing well.
So excellent.
Ours is a story. It's kind of hard, so you got to keep up with us.
Go slow with it.
Go slow, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, a lot of details.
An owner, and I don't think we've ever met this owner before.
No.
She had a cat that was living in her flower bed for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to take the cat inside or take it in her barn, but she wanted the whole works on it. Like, she thought it was a young cat. We were going to spay or neuter it. She wanted all the vaccines, everything. So we did blood work and vaccines and all these things. And the cat, the owner had dropped the cat off. So she didn't come in for an appointment. The cat was here and she ended up being an older cat. And, we had another, she was a new client as well, another new client that was coming in later in the day for an appointment. And that new client ended up not being able to catch her cat to bring in for the appointment. But somehow these two owners met in their neighborhood, and the owner that could not bring their cat in later for the appointment actually owned the cat that was in the flower bed that was dropped off for an appointment. These ladies had never met before, but they lived very close to each other.
Like a 70-year-old.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Just walking in the neighborhood.
Yes. And I don't know exactly how they like found out that, like, I don't know if the one lady was like, yeah, I can't find my cat, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, she looks like this. And the other lady was like, oh, I took that cat to the vet. But they both came to pick up the cat, and I think they're like lifelong best friends now.
Oh my gosh.
It was really funny because the cat that was dropped off, that lady wanted to name that cat Frankie. And the other lady who was coming in later for an appointment with a new cat, that cat's name was Frankie as well. And the Frankie that was dropped off living in the flower bed, that cat's name is actually Paquito.
And Paquito is the actual Frankie's mom.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
So messed up.
And on the same day that she drops off the cat, and it's like she's going to bring in a different cat of the household.
Yeah. That's so weird.
It's like the conversation in the neighborhood was like, oh, hey, well, I got to get going because I got to go pick up my cat at the vet. And the other lady's like, oh, I got to get home because I got to take my cat to the vet. Well, which vet are you going to? All Star? Oh. Well, what? And it's like, how did that even?
Yeah.
And then they have the same name?
I know. It was like
you
so...
just randomly picked a name. It happened to be Frankie.
That's crazy. So weird.
But it's crazy. They literally left here like
together.
Best
friends. Together.
Like, I've gained a friend and I got my cat back. Yeah, I mean, it was like.
I feel like they'll probably share the cat or something now.
The one lady
of that.
Was a little bit sad because, yeah. I mean, she had tried to get close to it for weeks, you know, yeah. and really thought it was a kitten because it was just a really petite female. But
she was like, she went right in that carrier. I didn't have to struggle. And I was yeah. like, well, she has a home, so she's probably been in one a few times.
And then Becca pulled up like the map of their homes, and it was like their backyards. Even though they're in the country, their backyards butt up against each other. So it's like little Poquito just like walked right over and decided, I'm going to stay here in the flower beds for like weeks.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was so weird.
Well, then they come on world. Down to us.
I know.
It was so crazy. And when Becca like told me that, because she was like, oh, Frankie's mom is here. But then she was like, well, I have to tell you the story. And at first I was like, excuse me, can you say that again? Because I'm really confused.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Frankie didn't show up because she couldn't catch him, but the other Frankie's mom, and then they're both here in room 7, and they want to see if Frankie is Poquito. It was like so confused.
It was so messed up.
Oh my gosh, that's
love
cute.
It. Now they're all, well, the one cat's safe and sound, mm-hmm. hopefully. No more flower bed shenanigans.
That's right. Yes.
Stay home, Poquito.
Poquito. Oh my gosh.
Love it. Bringing families and friends together. Yeah. One pet at a time.
That's right. That's right.
It's our new motto.
You can find your lifelong best friend at
All Star Veterinary Clinic.
Hey, I think they were wondering if they had drove together.
They did.
It was just like.
The one lady drove her. They like drove together in the car and they're like,
we're going
we're
to the same place.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I've thought for a really long time it would be really cool to create like basically a family tree of how people know people that know people, like yeah. at the you know what I mean, like client wise, because it's fascinating
yeah.
how yeah. people know people. Small world, man.
Small world.
All right, we'll move on. I won't talk about my case. I'll save it.
Okay.
So that we don't lose time.
Okay.
It's a good one. It's not very exciting.
You actually thought of a case.
Yeah, I did. I had a case.
Because like 5 seconds before we started, you're like, I don't have a case. So
I do. I have. Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely. Okay.
We'll save it.
So we have a listener question today. This
the first
is a follow
one.
Up.
Yeah.
From last week's case, the hermaphrodite, from Chandler Teal 101721. That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, oh, no, that wouldn't make sense. Okay, never mind. All right. Okay. I was like, that's your birthday. No, it's not because you weren't born in 21. Oh. Okay. My 1.5-year-old Great Dane actually has neither male or female genital parts. Have you ever seen that?
No. I've never seen that.
Don't know that I've ever seen that.
Mm-mm, no.
And I don't know if that.
I don't know if that.
This is a thing.
You got to have something.
You got to have something.
Yeah.
So either you got both or you got one or the other.
Yeah.
Like if
maybe yeah. something was just, it didn't form properly. So it was just like small and shriveled in there. And maybe he's.
What's the definition of like, what's their definition of genitalia? Like, does he like not have testicles
right.
or.
Right. Was it not testicles or ovaries? But then it had a vulva or penis?
Yeah.
I don't know. Urine's got to
come out
somewhere. We
need more information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please give us more detail.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. All right. Well, that was that. Well, to be continued.
To be continued in case we get more information.
Yes. Hello. How are you? We're doing great. Thank you. My name is Marcel. Marcel? I'm from Brazil and I'm a veterinary medicine student. I have a question about the feline leukemia virus. If you can answer my question, it'd be really cool because my cat has this virus. How do you proceed after the positive diagnosis of the patient? I have that question because here in Brazil, we only treat signs and symptoms of the disease, which is often an unpleasant sign of disease progression. I'm worried about my cat. She's my 4-legged daughter. Thank you for the question, Marisol.
Good question.
It's a great question. This is a... It's a big time virus that I feel like we talk about all the time. So, shall we?
Shall we? We shall.
We shall jump in.
Okay, well, let's break down the first part. So she's saying that how do you proceed after a positive diagnosis? I think talking about how you get a positive diagnosis is probably the first step.
Right. Yeah. So at any age, if usually if the kitten cat is newly acquired and we don't know the status, we just simply do a blood draw and test for an antigen and an antibody. We have to go into detail about that.
That's what we have Faust here for.
It's a blood test. If it's positive, we have other tests to confirm it.
Mm-hmm. So that would be my question to her is, was the test actually confirmed? Because it's, you know, different doing just the little snap test versus did it confirm with a PCR? So that'd be my first question, I guess, for her.
Yep. Because the snap test tests for antibodies, so essentially it's like exposure to it. But it doesn't tell you if it's like an active infection of the virus or the cat got it, body took care of it, done. It's just a history of it, essentially. So that's, yeah, it'd be...
One test, too, doesn't like confirm a lifetime status, so...
Yep.
Yeah. So in a stray animal, then we're testing them once and then we're typically testing them again to know for sure.
Yes. In a, with a different modality.
They do the confirmatory.
Yeah.
PCR. Right.
So I've also done IFA too. So two different tests depending
on
what
they tell you, the progressive versus regressive. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's how I diagnosed my recent cat. It was positive on ELISA. So the antibody one. So I did IFA and it was positive, which told me based off our handy dandy chart that it was the progressive form. Mm-hmm. So it was in the bone marrow.
So back up, just so people can understand, because we have people that are in school and things like that listening. So the two different scenarios. You have a cat that tests positive, and then those the options for that cat then include to clear the virus, so it could become negative, right, over time, or there's two other choices then. So then the cat, right, remains persistently positive, and it goes into the
progressive
form.
Or regressive.
Or regressive form.
We'll say the really bad form or the
could become
manageable
bad,
form.
Manageable could become bad at some time form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a negative cat, so three stages. Yeah. If you have a negative cat and you only test it one time, you don't know if it's truly negative unless you test it again, right? I mean, we don't do that all the time, but if somebody was really worried because if they were exposed before 3 weeks from now, like say they bring it in now and it was exposed last week and we tested it and it's negative. So like you test them again, typically to know for sure. If you had a sick patient or something like that, that tested negative and you want to know for sure, then we would test them more than 3 weeks from the current date of the first test, right?
Yes. If they want to know, we don't do it all the time, but
right. And a lot of times you're swinging around the next year and testing them, you know, like at their annual or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if they've been like in a cat fight, put in a call back for 6 months.
Yep. And kittens too, if they get it. So kittens can get it from their mom. Mm-hmm. So they'll show up positive, but that doesn't mean that they are persistently infected. Yeah. So you have to wait until the kitten is 6 months of age to then retest and essentially confirm if it was just because of mom and it worked through or if it's truly diseased.
Okay, so now we understand that part.
Does everyone understand that chart process?
Okay, so now you have a cat that's positive, and it is persistently positive. So what can you do about it? That's what she's asking, right? I mean, like she's saying, we're assuming that the cat's persistently positive. She's saying, confirmed, what options does she have at this point?
Yeah.
Fausty?
Yeah, I mean, if it's overall healthy, then I would recommend to check labs a little more frequently. So CBC chem, I would do every 6 months. Watching for any symptoms, but that's really it as far as like everything else is just the basic like recommendation for any pet as far as your monthly prevention, your vaccines.
There's no treatment for them
No,
when they're positive, right? I mean, we're treating all the things that the virus allows to have happen after mm-hmm. you're positive, like all the secondary issues that the cat might have.
Yeah.
But if they're progressive, I mean, it's going to move quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those kiddos, I don't know if I've seen one live past three. Have you guys?
No.
Yeah. Mine was.
They all die very young, I feel like.
Yeah.
Mine was an adult adopted, and we got 6 months out of him.
Yeah. I think the main thing with the newer research is making sure that they're in a household with just them, ideally. Every cat that you add increases their chance of stress. Mm. So if it's a two-cat household or less, that's ideal as you can get if you have to have another cat in the house. But after two cats, the risk of death goes like the percentage is like 20% higher or something crazy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is all interesting.
The associated symptoms and disease that come just because of stress. So that would be my best suggestion for her is if she doesn't have another cat, don't get one. Because if it's otherwise stable and it's a stress, as best as possible, stress-free environment, then I think that would be most ideal.
And it sounds like based on her description that the cat's not sick. Like right. I'm getting from the paragraph that it's been tested, it's positive, but the cat's asymptomatic.
Right.
So and she's kind of wondering, okay, now, like what are my options now at this point? And,
right.
And those guys, there really is nothing other than eliminating, like you said, the factors that might exacerbate the disease or lower their protective mechanisms that allow the virus to come raging out into.
Treat if they get a flare up of some mm-hmm. infection, viral, something like that.
I would say the only other thing, too, diet-wise, especially since she's in Brazil, just I don't know what is available there, but I would not suggest any raw diet.
Mm. Good point.
Or even like the freeze-dried raw or mm-hmm. raw toppers or something like that, just for immune safety.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because they're more compromised. Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes sense. Yeah, so I guess it'd be interesting to know what if she confirmed it and if she did based off of the charts that are available, what kind of form it is
right
of the three mm-hmm. forms, three stages. So,
yeah, unfortunately, there's just no good treatment yet. Yeah.
Elise, do you want to speak to for aside this question, like how do we handle FELV cats that come in the clinic? Cause it is kind of specific, right?
Yeah. Like, what do you mean how we handle cats that come in the clinic?
Like, would we want them going into a room and then we put other animals, like other cats there, or how do we try to?
We typically, if I have an FELV positive cat, I usually try to take it to isolation. Mm-hmm. The virus itself, I don't think lasts outside like a cat for very long. Mm-hmm. And I think most household cleaners will take care of it, but it's easily passed on to other cats by like saliva. And it doesn't even have to be like bite wounds for other cats to get it. Like, I mean, they can get it through mutual grooming. So like saliva, I think more rarely urine and feces is also a way that it can be transmitted. Mm. So I think just taking all precautions because you can't treat the virus. So like once you have it, you have it. So I just try to isolate them, try to keep them in one room. Don't take them out too often. Clean the room really well. Maybe no cats in there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think if it, especially if we have diagnosed a progressive state, because those are the kiddos that are really going to be shedding the virus in any secretion or bodily fluid. So, but many of like the ones that are in the regressive stage, not really. But like in this setting, I agree with Elise because like if we don't know, and we just have that status and the owner never really wanted to pursue it, we really need to take extra precaution for our other patients.
And it is recommended if you get a new kitten, even though they're negative, we actually vaccinate for this virus for their first year of life so that there is some immune boost to it just in case they ever get in contact with it essentially. But then thereafter, I guess it depends on the cat's situation. If they're indoor only and their exposure is minimal to none, then you don't have to necessarily add in that vaccine every year because less mm-hmm. vaccines for cats, the better.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Okay. Well, sounds like we got
A lot of info, some additional information.
Yep. I don't know if we have a good chart that we can post on the website. Like that's I'll look and see if I can find like a link might be helpful that people can look at.
Or like a vet partner article or something. Cause it can be a confusing disease.
It can be confusing. Like, yeah.
I mean, we have to look, I still had to refresh cause it can go different directions. So.
And FLV and FIV, like sometimes they're like so similar and you get confused and, but they're very different.
Yep.
Well, you guys, thanks for joining us for the anniversary
episode. We know you
episode.
Just want the cake, but.
Exactly.
Okay. So now it's time for cake.
Oh my gosh. Should we do the poppers?
Let's do them.
Oh man.
Okay.
You like keep saying they're loud.
Okay, you guys.
Wait, should we say cheers to 1 year?
Cheers to 1 year. And yay! Thank you for all the listeners and all the support all the and all the questions. Here we go.
Wait, did mine go off?
Yes.
We did it. Wow.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. Remember, send in those questions and be sure to follow us on all your social media platforms at All Star Veterinary Clinic. If you enjoyed this episode or a previous episode, leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. And we'll see you in a few weeks for the next episode. Start the next year of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Oh, wow.
My gosh, this stuff is like floating.